go, 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Vicki Barker in Southern California.
We made it through the fire. And now we got to make it through this.
Residents are braced for the possibility of more heavy rain falling onto hillsides left barren by the recent wildfires. One highway intersection at hard-hit Pacific Palisades was under 3 feet of sludge. CBS's Nicole Comstock is there.
There are neighborhoods here that they have roadblocks set up, and they're only letting people through who live in those neighborhoods. And as we were just up the street, they continued to shut down other streets where they're concerned they could see more flooding. So everyone being urged to take evacuation orders seriously if you get them. And also, even if you're not under a mandatory evacuation order, you really have to just pay attention to what's going on.
Stormy times in Washington, D.C., where Elon Musk continues his campaign to downsize the federal government. CBS's Jared Hill has that.
This morning, hundreds of federal workers are out of a job, and thousands more are bracing for sweeping layoffs.
We have here rule of the bureaucracy, as opposed to rule of the people.
Speaking virtually at a World Summit Thursday, Elon Musk, head of President Donald Trump's Department of Government Efficiency, said entire federal departments should be deleted.
If you don't remove the roots of the weed, then it's easy for the weed to grow back.
14 states have filed a lawsuit against Musk and President Trump, accusing Musk's Doge team of illegal overreach. And after Manhattan U.S. Attorney Danielle Sassoon and two other top Justice Department prosecutors resigned after refusing an order to shut down the corruption probe against New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
I think the resignation of Danielle Sassoon, a firm Republican conservative who was appointed as U.S. attorney, is a real indication that there is going to be resistance to the new Trump Department of Justice.
Legal analyst and former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson. Sparks expected to fly as world leaders gather for the Munich Security Conference. European allies feel frozen out of President Trump's attempts to engage directly with Russian President Putin over Ukraine. CBS's Olivia Rinaldi has the latest.
Vice President J.D. Vance will address world leaders about the Trump administration's agenda when it comes to ending the war in Ukraine. Vance will hold a bilateral meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky on the sidelines of that conference. Also notable, the vice president will not meet with German Chancellor Olaf Scholz. Instead, he will meet with the country's opposition leader, Friedrich Merz.
Conservative Merz is the frontrunner in next week's German elections. Ahead of today's speech, Vance has told the Wall Street Journal the president's not going into those negotiations with Putin blindly. And we have this news just in. Pope Francis has been hospitalized with bronchitis. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com.
The Bucks head into the All-Star break with a victory. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks win a close one in Minnesota, 103-101 against the Timberwolves. Damian Lillard was out with a hamstring. Giannis still out with a calf muscle injury. And so that left center Brooke Lopez and several new players to battle for the win.
You know, we had a nice mix out there. So great to just see everyone feel each other out, you know, get a good sense of who we are. But, you know, when it boiled down to it, we just had each other's back. We were communicating, we were making the right play. We were playing with energy, and it was just a great win to have going forward.
Baseball. The Brewers signed Rays left-hander Tyler Alexander to a one-year deal. NFL. The Packers went into this season without a true number one receiver. So how did that work out? Jordan Love.
There's definitely, I think, areas that we need to focus on and improve on to get better, kind of get over the hump that we hit this year, and just get more consistent, focus on the details.
That's the Packers' Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Forever bros Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes are coming under fire from Kansas City Chiefs fans for having a double date with their best girls, Taylor Swift and Brittany Mahomes, fairly certain it was in that order, just 24 hours before the Super Bowl. What? Word on the street is that Taylor Swift ordered a huge Kobe burger and French fries, and according to Chiefs fans on social media, that could be exactly why the Chiefs laid an egg in front of a worldwide audience while trying to three-peat. No idea what Kelce and Mahomes had to eat, but after seeing the way they played during the big game, I'm guessing it had lots of tryptophan. Irate Chiefs fans, most of whom I'm guessing probably never played in a Super Bowl, disapproved of the double date, insinuating that said date and hanging with girls so close to the big game was obviously the reason the Chiefs lost. If only Kansas City sports fans provided the two football players with this information beforehand. It just seems like a no-brainer to me. You can't eat 2 days before the big game. There's nothing funnier than irrational sports fans. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We have more snow on the way. Snow will develop this afternoon, continue through tonight, and much of the day tomorrow. 4 to 7 inches of accumulation possible by the time it all winds down late Saturday. Today, snow by afternoon up to 20. Tomorrow, snow ending 29. After that, really cold through most of next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 11 below.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the woman who wants to head the Department of Education says private and charter schools have every right to refuse kids who don't meet their standards. What does that mean for children in Wisconsin?
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matinair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who writes checks his mouth can't cash, Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back. Our Nightlight question of the night, ladies and gentlemen, what are your Valentine's Day plans? We'd love to know. Share them with us if you would. Most people seem like they're a little hesitant. We've gotten some texts, but people don't seem like they want to share too much, and you certainly don't have to. Todd from De Pere did text us and said, if I were to stock, and this is in reference to earlier when Conrad said you kept condoms in your piggy bank.
Yep.
Todd said, if I were to stockpile condoms in a piggy bank, they'd expire before I could even use one. Well, yeah, with that attitude, Todd.
Who said I don't have expired condoms?
Here's my problem with that. Let's say you have a partner at your house and you're like all raring to go. And it's like, oh, my God, hold on. I got to go get a condom. They seem like they'd be harder to get out of the piggy bank than to get into the piggy bank. So now you got to create a whole scene with a hammer and break the piggy bank. You got pennies all, falling all over the place while you look for the appropriate condom. I think you need a better system. So Todd.
It just looks cool. I'm sorry.
Huh?
I said it just looks cool to have a piggy bank, all right?
Well, yeah, but you don't have to put condoms in there. You could just put pennies in there like most normal people or a quarter or something. There's got to be a better way. That's all I'm saying. Todd, you and Conrad should put your heads together and figure this out. But what are your plans for Valentine's Day, folks? That is our question. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know. JB checking in on the stream says, Frankenmuth is amazing. Kids love the water park, and there is an amazing, really old restaurant with great fried chicken. Okay. So, Conrad, we know JB is the guy behind the guy. He's introduced us to several guests. Really good dude. He's been on the show himself as a guest. I'm starting to think there's nowhere JB hasn't been. He even knows Frankenmuth, Michigan. So, good for you, JB. Thank you for the referral. If we're ever in Frankenmuth, John McGivern was already there, unfortunately. But you know what? My guess would be he probably found the fried chicken restaurant anyway. So, there you go. Pardon me. pardon me, as you know, folks, too, the phone lines are open. You can chime in on whatever we're talking about. Just great to hear from you. Conrad, let's get to this clip. I found this. This cracked me up. This was Will Ferrell. Was he on Colbert? I sent this to you a few days ago. I've already forgotten where he was at, but I want to get to this clip. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
But it's him talking about what he used to do in college, and this reminded me of guys I knew in college, and I just lost it when I heard this. It's such a great story from Will Ferrell.
In college, I would dress up like a janitor and interrupt my buddy's lecture class with like a bucket and a mop. Once again, a lit cigarette.
I'd just roll in.
And the teacher would say, can I help you? I don't. No one threw up in here. The professor goes, no. I'm like, well, sorry, I'm from physical plant. They gave me a call. That someone threw up in here. Are you sure no one threw up in here? Teacher would go, no. I don't know why you're here. And just to make two of my friends laugh in the back row. And then I just walk out.
Pardon me. That reminded me of a buddy of mine. I was in a philosophy class once, and he kept walking by. He would never look in the room. He just kept walking. He'd go this way. He'd wait 30 seconds and come back the other way. Very purposeful walk. Very good clip. He'd turn and go back. He probably did that 10 or 12 times. And I'm on the floor. He's not even acknowledging, but he knows I can see him. It was such commitment to the joke for a college kid. Before I knew much about comedy at all, or before he knew anything about it, it was very funny stuff. But can you picture Will Ferrell doing that as a 20-year-old guy?
I can definitely picture him doing that.
Yeah, that's great stuff. All right, so yesterday, folks, we started to get into this yesterday, but we had a pretty packed show yesterday as well. Josh Brolin, it was his birthday, and he's about my age. We're both very muscular, but he is a... I just looked over, Conrad just raised his eyebrow. You didn't even look at me. You just kind of raised your eyebrows. Like, well, that's an interesting thing to say. But I do love Josh Brolin. I think he's a really good actor. The first thing I think I ever saw him in was The Goonies. And I thought, oh, this guy's, you know, pretty funny, whatever. Kind of made me think, oh, I'd love to be an actor. It'd be fun to be in a movie like that, you know. But he was great in The Goonies. I recently watched The Sicarios 1 and 2. First one has Emily Blunt. She's very good in it, too. And the second one, well, Benicio del Toro's in both of them, actually. So, but really good, solid action films. Pardon me. So my favorite role, though, that Josh Brolin has ever played was probably Llewellyn Moss from No Country for Old Men. That's a film I watched the first time, and it was kind of hard for me to watch because the character of Anton Chigurh is so creepy, and Javier Bardem plays him with such conviction. He's so good in that role and so creepy. And then whatever the hell that thing, that cattle prod thing he's dragging around and killing people with. I'd never seen anything like that. So once I got used to it and the way he killed those people, it was an easier movie to watch. But Josh Brolin plays a guy who finds $2 million from a drug deal gone bad. And Chigurh is looking for the money. And let's do, what clips do we have again? We've got the one where he's on the phone.
Yep.
And then the other one is where he's talking to his wife, correct?
Yes.
All right, so let's do that. That's the clip right after he finds the $2 million. He's been out into the evening with all hours.
Yeah. You want him talking to his wife?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's do that. He found $2 million. He's hiding it under his trailer in the trailer park they live in because he knows somebody is going to claim the money. I'll just let the clip speak for itself, but it's really good acting. And then we have another great clip between Josh Brolin and Javier Bardem as well.
Llewellyn? What the hell?
The Odessa.
Why would we go to Odessa?
Not we, you. You stay with your mother.
Well, how come?
Look, right now it's midnight Sunday. The courthouse opens 9 hours from now. Someone's going to be calling in the vehicle number on the inspection plate of my truck. Around 9:30, they'll show up here.
But for how long do we have to...
Baby, at what point would you quit bothering to look for your $2 million?
What am I supposed to tell Mama?
Why don't you try standing in the door and hollering, Mama, I'm home.
Llewellyn.
Come on, pack your things. Anything you leave, you ain't gonna see again.
Well, don't fall down apologizing.
Baby, things happen. Well, I can't take them back.
Such a good character. He plays like this Vietnam vet who is just very matter of fact about everything. And Kelly MacDonald plays his wife. She's really good too. Kind of reluctantly going along with everything Josh Brolin is plotting here. But he finds $2 million. He knows somebody's going to be looking for it. He does not know there is a tracker in with the cash that Javier Bardem's character, Anton Chigurh, is going to find. And the scene where he finds out the tracker is in the suitcase, he's on the run, And it's just a phenomenal standoff, like only the Coen brothers can do, or few can do. Here's another scene from No Country for Old Men, where Josh Brolin calls. He's looking for Woody Harrelson's character to sort of broker a deal, and he gets the guy who's trying to kill him. And he is worried he's going to kill his wife as well, and that's Anton Chigurh, who has principle. The great thing about, have you seen the movie, Conrad?
I have not.
Okay, the great thing about Chigurh is he's like principled. He's evil, but he does not go back on his word. And here's a scene. It's over the phone. Anton Chigurh has just blown away Woody Harrelson, and now he and Josh Brolin have a scene together.
Hello?
Yes.
Is Carson Wells there?
Not in the sense that you mean.
You need to come see me.
Who is this? You know who it is. You need to talk to me.
I don't need to talk to you.
I think you do. Do you know where I'm going?
Why would I care where you're going?
I know where you are.
Yeah, where am I?
You're in the hospital across the river, but that's not where I'm going. Do you know where I'm going?
Yeah, I know where you're going.
All right.
You know she won't be there.
It doesn't make any difference where she is.
So what are you going up there for?
You know how this is going to turn out, don't you?
Nope.
I think you do. So this is what I'll offer. You bring me the money and I'll let her go. Otherwise, she's accountable. The same as you. That's the best deal you're going to get. I won't tell you you can save yourself. Because you can't.
Yeah, I'm going to bring you something, all right? I decided to make you a special project of mine. You ain't going to have to come look for me at all.
Great movie. I highly recommend it. No Country for Old Men. Josh Brolin. How old is he today? 57?
Yep.
Yeah. 57. He's got a good resume. Good acting resume. All right. We have one more clip. And I asked you to find this because you're the big Adam Sandler fan. And this is... wait, was it his birthday or is it did the movie drop?
The Wedding Singer.
That dropped today, right?
Yes.
Okay. So here... I remember seeing a trailer for this movie. We went to see Boogie Nights. There was like seven or eight of us. We're at the Universal movie theaters. And Jimmy Pardo, who has been on this show before, we're watching the trailer for The Wedding Singer. And right as the crowd noise dies down and everyone's laughing at Adam Sandler, he just says in the Jimmy Pardo voice, "It's one to see, huh?" And the whole theater heard him say it. It's beautiful. So here's a clip from The Wedding Singer. Anything else we need to know here, Conrad? You clipped it, so tell us if there's something we're going to miss.
It's just one of the songs that he performs. Well, not it wasn't. It's after he broke up with someone.
Okay.
So it's a little different than his usual repertoire.
All right, lay it on us.
You don't know how much I need you. While you're near me, I don't feel blue. And when we kiss, I know you need me too. I can't believe I found a love that's so pure and true. But it all was gold.
Crap. Frickin'.
I hope you're glad with what you've done to me. I lay in bed all day long, feeling melancholy. You left me here all alone, tears running constantly. Oh, somebody kill.
That's ominous. We're coming right back with the Green Bay Film Festival's Nick Watier. Coming right back on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Don't go anywhere.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Hey folks, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We have all stopped at a convenience store for a necessity or two. A bottle of water, a half a gallon of milk, or a bag of pickle-flavored potato chips. I mean, those are necessities in your house too, right? But there is a cost for that kind of convenience, as much as 54% more. Now, when I was in my early 20s, like some of you, I may have done most of my shopping at the 7-Eleven around the corner from my apartment. And boy, oh boy, I wish I had known that shopping regularly at convenience stores instead of supermarkets meant I was paying a lot more for my groceries. A National Institute of Health survey recently found that milk can cost 11 to 14% more at those stores, apples and bananas 10 to 53% more, and cereal can cost as much as 54% more. So, for your regular food shopping, keep more money in your wallet and head on over to the supermarket. For more tips on saving, text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwig created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created? More than 80 years ago. It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. What are your plans for Valentine's Day, folks? That is our question of the night. Let us know, and we will read your text on the radio. Joining me now in the studio, if you're watching on the stream, you can see this gentleman sitting next to me. His name is Nick Watier, and he is with the Green Bay Film. What is your exact title at the Green Bay Film? Program director, right?
I'm the treasurer.
Oh, treasurer. Okay.
Yeah, I'm the treasurer of the festival. But we're also, we all kind of do double roles.
So like, I remember that.
Working the door, and I'm helping with, you know, sponsorship opportunities, our fiscal receivership program. So there's a little bit of marketing, a little bit of sales, a little bit of everything.
That's fantastic. And you've been there for a while because you've been on the show three or four times over the last 14 months or so.
Yeah. And it's just like we're constantly changing the way that we work and, you know, trying to keep things fresh and exciting.
Yeah.
Like this year, we really want to make sure that people are understanding the value of the community experience. I think that we're seeing a lot of people that like to watch the streaming services, the Netflixes of the world, and they're great. There is something nice about the comfort of your own home and the pause button. Like, don't get me wrong, that is awesome. But there's also something about watching a comedy with, you know, 100 other like-minded folks and hearing that community laughter. Or when we're playing our documentary series, like, to be able to have the conversations afterward. And that's why it's like important to me to make sure that we bring the artists in to have that conversation about the work that they just did.
That's the whole festival experience too, right?
Right.
I mean, is those live appearances, live audiences. I agree with you. I think, you know, it's true. It is nice to watch movies in the comfort of your own home, but I find myself, I don't know if you do this either, Nick, but like I'll think of stuff to do. I'll pause. I'll go, oh, yeah, now I can relax.
Absolutely.
Did that. Oh, wait a minute. I should put my stuff in the dryer before I come back. Like, you don't do that at a movie theater, right?
Nope.
Like, I won't even go to the bathroom for 2 hours if I'm into the film
exactly.
and I'm putting myself through hell.
Exactly.
If I'm in the theater. So you've got a couple big events coming up. We'll talk about those in a few minutes here. But tell us, give us a little bit of background, if you would, about the Green Bay Film Festival.
Yeah, so we're kicking off our 15th season this year.
Good for you guys.
Wow. Right? And like I said, we've been through a bunch of iterations. You know, we have a great relationship with Oneida Nation, and we used to do our festival at their hotel. They have a nice conference center out in Oneida.
Yeah.
And we've grown through the years. We went over to St. Norbert College for a while. Now we're at the Tarleton Theater downtown Green Bay, which is a phenomenal host to give us that cozy community feeling.
Yeah.
Like when we were at St. Norbert College, again, phenomenal screens. We had three or four theaters going at the same time. But what kind of ended up happening was our audience got dispersed around the city of De Pere or village of whatever it's classified as, right? There was the Birder Hall down the street, and there was the Fort Howard Theater, and there was two screens in the Webb and the Walter, and it was fantastic. We could play a lot of stuff, but you could get lost even among the friends that you came with. Well, I need to see something here at this time and here at that time.
Right.
So to try and really enhance that community element, and to, like, one of the pieces of feedback we got was you couldn't see everything because there were four screens running at the same time. Right. So we've kind of narrowed that down now and made it a, you know, our screeners, our selection committee has kind of picked the cream of the crop. We've picked the things that we think are the most important, and we make it one screen, and we make sure that we have somebody there to tell a story, to have a talk back, to do a demonstration. We try to make it a more interactive than just looking at the screen for, you know, 20 minutes for a short or an hour and a half for a feature.
Right. pardon me. It says on your website, the film festival curated for Green Bay. What's that mean? Can you explain that?
So what we've done is we actually have for this year, several sessions where I'm not even going to drop a number because we just added one earlier this week. So we're still programming for this year. We have two sessions, a March and an April, that are both Wisconsin filmmaker focused.
Okay.
So everything we'll be playing at those was made in or with people from the state of Wisconsin. And then we have a Packers feature that's coming. And then we start to get a little bit more into the nationwide, the worldwide selections. We have an animations package, some comedy, some sci-fi, environmental pieces. We're looking at this new event that's coming up is going to be focused on native storytelling.
Okay.
So either about...
You guys do that often, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and part of that too, we have awesome partnership, like I said, with Oneida Nation. They're helping us with some of our print services, and they're helping us find filmmakers that are connected to the area that, you know, we want to help those local artists anyway.
Yeah.
And if they can help us make those connections, we're all about it.
Last time you were here, or maybe it was the time before that, did you say you guys are financing films now too?
Yeah. So
how does that work?
So the festival is a product produced by our 501c3 Film Green Bay Incorporated.
Okay.
And what we can do is basically offer grant programs, and we've set it up in a way where if you want to produce a film in the state of Wisconsin, and really it can be anywhere, basically our bylaws indicate that we are trying to create a hub for the enjoyment and creation of film media. So if we can work with you to help fulfill our mission, we can create a donor's choice bucket. And people can donate funds to us and say, hey, I want this to go to the Amphibious Film Project. That's one of them we're working on right now.
Okay.
And when that money comes in, we hold it in a special account. And as Amphibious starts to have bills to pay, whether that's actors or locations or anything like that, we cover those invoices for them out of these funds that we've received as donations.
And you control it.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're giving it to a filmmaker who can go.
Right. I mean, we don't pay the film. We pay the invoice to create the film. So through that, we're also building a network of editors and colorists and actors and locations, and getting like a database of what these people cost and what projects they've been part of before. So we're trying to build that network of people and help everybody find each other.
Do you have how high of a budget will you go up to? Is the sky the limit? Or
I mean the highest I've done so far is $60,000.
Okay.
Our target for some of our current projects is in the hundreds. $200,000 is, okay, I believe, the target for Amphibious. Mm-hmm. And I mean, really, there isn't a limit to what we can collect. And I think what's nice about our project is we're funding the work. We aren't buying the film.
Right.
So we help get the art created. It's up to the artist what they want to do. If they want to license it, they want to stream it, they want to sell it. That's all on them. We're not keeping them from making money. It's not a nonprofit project. The nonprofit is helping fund the project.
That's so great. That's a very unique and cool thing. We'll talk more about that. And we're going to talk about giant spiders, ladies and gentlemen. That is coming up next after the news. Nick Watier is here from the
the Green Bay Film
Green
Festival.
Green Bay Film Festival. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We're going riding on the freeway. Oh no, we're against our plan. We're going riding on the freeway.
listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
CBS News Brief. First, fire, now flood. Evacuation orders in place for Southern California hillsides and neighborhoods left barren by the recent wildfires. CBS's Michelle Gili says that affects kids at some local schools.
They will be relocated to an area school because they're in an area where they could be in danger.
One intersection in hard-hit Pacific Palisades was under 3 feet of sludge. World leaders have gathered in Munich for the annual security conference there. Vice President J.D. Vance sat down with NATO Chief Mark Rutte before addressing the wider gathering.
We talk about NATO, and particularly the president's desire to see NATO spend a little bit more resources on defense.
This news just in, a federal judge has temporarily blocked President Trump's freeze on funding to USAID and development programs. And on this Valentine's Day, more than 60 Thai couples, including 20 same-sex pairs, have tied the knot in a mass Valentine's Day wedding ceremony. CBS News Brief, I'm Vicki Barker.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks head into the All-Star break with a victory. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks win a close one in Minnesota, 103-101 against the Timberwolves. Damian Lillard was out with a hamstring. Giannis still out with a calf muscle injury. And so that left center Brooke Lopez and several new players to battle for the win.
You know, we had a nice mix out there. So great to just see everyone feel each other out, you know, get a good sense of who we are. But, you know, when it boiled down to it, we just had each other's back. We were communicating, we were making the right plays, we were playing with energy, and it was just a great win to have going forward.
Baseball, the Brewers signed Rays left-hander Tyler Alexander to a one-year deal. NFL, the Packers went into this season without a true number one receiver. So how did that work out? Jordan Love.
There's definitely, I think, areas that we need to focus on and improve on to get better, kind of get over the hump that we hit this year, and just get more consistent, focus on the details.
That's the Packers' Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Everybody has their favorite Saturday Night Live sketches from the past 50 years. If you're older, you might think Landshark, The Bass-O-Matic, or Bill Murray's Lounge Singer might be at the top of the list, but that's not the case. A new list from TheWrap.com lists the 10 funniest Saturday Night Live sketches, and the oldest one is from 29 years ago. It's important to note The Wrap's list only uses sketches from Saturday Night Live's YouTube page. Football fans hate the Kardashians. Those are the words of Kardashian leader Kim, who was referring to Tom Brady's roast last year, at which she was mercilessly booed. The boos were so thunderous, Netflix edited most of them out. Kardashian still claims she had nothing to do with that. On an episode of The Kardashians earlier this week, the former Mrs. Kanye West said she would never do a roast again because they are not good for the soul, adding that she never imagined that she would get booed. She obviously never watches her own TV show. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have more snow on the way. Snow will develop this afternoon, continue through tonight and much of the day tomorrow. 4 to 7 inches of accumulation possible by the time it all winds down late Saturday. Today, snow by afternoon up to 20. Tomorrow, snow ending 29. After that, really cold through most of next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, 13 below zero.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, our pal Emerson Lehman from the WBAY Morning Show is in studio. Up-and-coming singer-songwriter Kaylin Cole performs live, and it's a bar band Friday night. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Tomorrow night on the show, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a jam-packed show tomorrow night. Emerson Lehman from the WBAY Morning Show will be here. That's here in Green Bay. Emerson has become a staple on your TVs around Green Bay. He'll be here tomorrow evening. He often drops by the studio, and we have a blast when he's here. He's got a new show, right, Conrad?
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. And then Kaylin Cole will be here. We just added Kaylin last minute. She's going to come by, do a pre-record, and we're going to air. She's an up-and-coming singer-songwriter. She's phenomenal. She's been featured here on Bar Band Friday night from time to time, thanks to Terry Barr. She's in Green Bay performing this weekend, so we'll talk about that with her tomorrow. And then we'll get out her out of here and on the way to the show with enough time to get out there and entertain the fine folks of Green Bay. And then, obviously, it's a Bar Band Friday night. Terry Barr will be here. So, big show tomorrow night as well. Right now, my friend Nick Watier is in the studio talking about the Green Bay Film Festival and a really cool event coming up next month. Nick, let's jump into this before we run out of time and get sidetracked. You've got giant spiders invading the Tarleton Theater.
You know,
please explain that.
I'm so excited. So, back in, what was it, 1975,
I believe. 50 years, yeah.
It's 50 years ago, the giant spider invasion came out. And Bill Rabin, who is, he's a Latvian-American that moved to the States, started selling camera equipment, and then after making some money, made his own little studio up in Gleason, and just started cranking out these, I mean, what we now call B-horror films.
Yeah.
And he's got 10, 15 projects out there. They're all great cult hits, but the giant spider invasion really took off. It was featured on Mystery Science Theater. It's been featured on Riff Tracks. And it's got this huge following. In fact, last year he sold out a theater in, not Waukesha.
Waiwega.
Yeah. That's it. He sold out Waiwega with the film. And now we were blessed with this opportunity to show it again on the 50th anniversary of release. Bill's coming out to talk about it. We've got Dan Davies, who he's working on another project with, coming to lead the Q&A, but we'll have audience Q&A as well as Dan's led conversation. And we're just super excited to have the opportunity to show this work. I mean, I've seen it before, but when I heard we were playing it, I'm like, okay, I need to revisit and watch it again. And man, it really holds up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's, like I said, 70s horror. It's got a lot of actors from its day that were, you know.
I remember Alan Hale from Gilligan's Island.
Exactly.
Is in it. Yeah.
Yeah. And just the ingenuity of seeing how they were able to produce. If I remember correctly, it had something like a $300,000 budget, which isn't nothing, especially in, you know, 1970s dollars. Like, that's some money compared to the types of films we're normally playing. But it ended up in 1975 being like one of the top 50 grossing films, bringing in something like $30 million.
Isn't that something? Wow. Right?
So, and I think what I'm so excited about is we get to highlight to our local audience here that there's real work that comes out of our area that gets noticed and gets picked up. I mean, a lot of Bill's work is super popular overseas. He's a huge hit in like Germany. But to see here locally what he's done and the ingenuity working on a budget, they needed this spider that was, I don't know, 8-10 feet. In real life, it's built out of a Volkswagen Bug.
Right, that's
like,
right.
They took a Volkswagen Bug, wrapped it, put legs on it. They did a bunch of metal fab, and like they're driving it down the streets of Merrill, Wisconsin, where they shot most of the film. And like, I assume we're gonna find out on March 14th at the event when we have the Q&A. Like, I assume it was just kind of an open call for extras. Hey, anybody in town that wants to be in the movie, you're gonna get chased down the street by this spider looking bug. And it's super cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm super excited because Bill's going to be there. Dan's going to be there. We'll have the film to play. We're also featuring one of Dan's projects, The Rise of Deermageddon, the musical.
I want to ask you about that too.
Yeah.
Because Dan has been on the show and he's talked about that. But if we could still keep the focus on the giant spider.
Sure.
At first. So Bill is like 88 now, right? He's going to be there.
Right.
He's been on the show before, and I remember him saying that what I love about his story is that he emigrated here, lived in Chicago, discovered northern Wisconsin, and kind of never turned back. Like, he just loved it up there.
Absolutely.
And he built all this. He was very innovative, too, as I recall, in terms of camera equipment. Absolutely. And stuff like
that. Yeah, I think he kind of is one of the pioneers that made CinemaScope a thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, okay. He got licensed to sell CinemaScope and pushed it through the you know, mid-market, the Chicago area, and kind of got them to keep up with what started happening and influence what was happening on the coasts, right? But he's still up in northern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
We sent Vance from our team up there to do an interview for a print piece, and man, just the wealth of knowledge that he has about the way to get things done. Again, right. I think that people that haven't tried to make film or video media, the thing that people understand is sometimes it's just hard to get the spark and then the motivation to go with the spark. Okay. Like, it takes an idea and then it takes the willingness to do the work to get it done.
Right.
That's why, like, even some people, The Room is a very popular film now for not being that great. I think it's inspirational that Tommy Wiseau put in the work to make that happen.
What's he believed The Room?
His story enough. Oh, The Room, man. That's got to be about 8 or 10 years old now.
Okay.
It was shot in L.A. By a gentleman named Tommy Wiseau. It's pretty famous for, like, I don't know, a week or two into filming, firing his entire crew and getting new people. He wrote it, he directed it, he stars in it. And again, it's like, you know, it's not a fantastic movie, but it has this Rocky Horror following where people will go and they'll bring footballs to play catch during the movie. And there's, like, one of the things he bought as a set dressing was like a frame, but he never changed the picture that came with the frame. So there's just like a picture of a random spoon. Because that's what came in the frame, and it moves around the set to different rooms. So, like, it's a game for the audience. Find the spoon, and throw spoons in the... It's such a blast.
Anything to keep the focus off the movie, apparently.
Kind of. But, again, it's like, I can watch that movie alone and understand that, you know, it may not be the best written thing. It might... Like, it's shot really well.
Okay.
The story has some holes in it. Like, there's an actor that comes in, announced she has his cancer. That she has cancer, and it's never referred to again for the next 90 minutes of film. Why? I don't know. But it's a blast. And, you know, I think that film gives me that inspiration to encourage other artists.
Yeah.
Because while it's not famous and popular for the reasons that Tommy wanted it to be, he has been a champ in embracing the audience he found. He goes to these screenings. Yes, he knows people are making jokes. Yes, he knows people are, you know, just there to almost mock it, right? But he's embraced the fame he found.
Okay.
And there's actually books about the process of making the film, The Disaster Artist, which I think was adapted to a movie with Seth Green. Seth Rowland. Was in The Disaster Artist, which is an adaptation of the making of The Room.
It's such a tough thing because you want to celebrate it for the reasons you think it's interesting.
Right.
But that might not be what the filmmaker's intentions were, because he probably wanted to make a really good movie.
I think that's with all art, though. You can only control it until you let the audience see it, and then it's in their hands.
It is what it is at that point. Yeah.
Same things with, like, music. You write a song, it's about something, you release it, and everybody thinks it's about, I don't know, you know, look at Taylor Swift. It's about this boyfriend. Well, she never confirmed or denied, but that's what everybody thinks it is.
So that's what it becomes fact, because that's what people think. Yeah,
exactly.
I was just looking at the Giant Spider Invasion credit list on IMDb Pro, and this Paul Benson came up, and I was like, God, that name looks familiar. He was in a movie I did years ago here called The Godfather.
Oh my God! Yeah,
I'm like, oh, he was the farmer in that, and it totally slipped my mind.
Well, and that's the thing. It's a small world when you get to people that have actually done the work and put things out. Like I said, a lot of people might have an idea, but to have the wherewithal to go through and do the work.
Yeah.
Like, you don't realize that, you know, generally speaking, a script is one page per minute of final work. And, you know, if you're shooting Hollywood style, which a lot of indies aren't, you do 2 to 3 pages a day.
Right. All right, so let's talk. Okay, so that, tell us when that is again. That's March.
That's March 14th, I believe. That's the Friday.
And can people get tickets? Do they go to the
Those
Carlton,
tickets are live on the website right now, gbfilmfestival.org.
All right.
We want to pack that place. We want everybody to get a chance to see this. So we're only charging $10 for the event.
And it's cool that Bill will be there because he is just he's kind of iconic. He's in his, I know, late 80s now. He was great when he was on the show. Craig Knitt was here helping out with that. And he was still really sharp. Like, he knows his stuff and he's talking. All right. So tell us about The Rise of Deermageddon. I've been hearing about this film since I started doing this radio show. I've had Dan on the show. They're kind of evasive when they talk about it. It's like, well, it's this musical and it's high school football. And it's like, I am so eager to see this film.
So I saw it. The cut we're playing is a short. It's 15 minutes.
Okay. Is it a short or is it a feature?
They're making the feature now.
They're making the feature. Okay, got it. That's
so
right.
The,
all right.
The short is done and what we'll be playing. The feature's in process. The thing about the short, it was all shot in Appleton. Okay. And just like you said, it's kind of high school football. It's kind of deer hunting. Most of the movie takes place in a bar where, you know, different people are having their conversations. And then all of a sudden it turns into a musical. There's really nothing quite like it. And Craig actually has, I wish I could remember it now because, you know, put a microphone in front of me, I go blank. But Craig Knitt has some of the best lines in that movie.
Singing lines?
No, they were speaking at that
point. Speaking, okay.
But, yeah, there's nothing quite like that experience in Deermageddon, which I'm excited to see again in front of an audience.
So that's going to open the event. That's a Friday of your event, and then the Giant Spider Invasion will play after that, and then you'll have a Q&A led by Dan Davies, who is the director behind Deermageddon. Okay,
yeah, guys. And from what I understand, I don't know a whole lot of details, but I know Dan and Bill are working together on more projects.
Okay. That's fantastic.
So hopefully I can get more information out of them there because I can't wait to see what they come up with next.
This is such a great system you guys have too because I know you serve food, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So people can go in, get some food, chill out. Can they eat during the film or is
Absolutely.
That a separate?
All right. Yeah, I do recommend too. if you would like to eat during the film, come a little bit early because everything is made to order. So I think you'll have to check the website for me, but I'm pretty sure we're doing doors at 5 for a 6 o'clock show. And if that's the case, you want to be there at 5 so you can order, have your food freshly cooked for you. I love the lobster mac and cheese, the Captain Crunch chicken. Everything that Mark makes is fantastic over at the Tarleton.
I would think you'd have venison in honor of the Deermageddon.
You know, Tarleton actually like surprises us with a themed menu for pretty much every event. Like we've done Valentine's Day events.
Wait, is his name Tarleton or Tarl? Oh, his full name is Tarleton?
It's Tarleton.
He's been on the show before, and I loved having him on the show.
Yeah, Tarl Knight.
I thought it was Tarl. I just want to make sure I was not.
Tarleton is his legal name, but he goes by Tarl.
Okay, that works. So I didn't offend him, is what I'm hearing.
No, not at all.
No. What are you telling me, Conrad?
2 minutes.
To wardrobe change?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So what a fun night. So folks, get your tickets. It's The Rise of Deermageddon. I'm only explaining it how Dan has explained it to me. He's a high school football glory days guy.
Yes.
It sounds like there's a little dose of maybe Escanaba in the Moonlight with the deer hunting or something.
I can see that. Yep.
And then Dan is the star of it, as I understand it. And then you got the Giant Spider Invasion. Dan will host the Q&A.
Yeah.
Who hosts the Q&A for Dan? Are you going to hold Dan's feet to the fire?
I probably should.
You should.
I mean, that is my role going to do a Q&A with him. So I'll... All right. I didn't know if he wanted one because he's prepping to work with Bill.
Yeah.
So if he has the time and if he's willing, I will definitely lead that conversation.
Okay. Fair enough. You've got other films too. We'll talk about those. Right? You've got Saturday, 6 films.
Yeah. So Friday.
Always consummate. So let's get into that. We got to do a very quick break and then we'll talk about what's happening Saturday at the Green Bay Film Festival, which is just around the corner, folks. Lots of fun stuff happening right here in downtown Green Bay over at the Tarleton Theater. This is Peach Wabbit and Nightlight. We're coming right back with more with Nick Watier on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. While attacks on democracy norms ensue in Washington, state legislatures have also been busy. We have updates from Utah, Kansas, Indiana, and the contested North Carolina Supreme Court race. Voting Rights Lab reports that the Utah House is considering HB 300, which forces mail-in ballot users to deliver their ballot not by mail, but by hand to an official polling place where an ID can be presented. The elderly, disabled, and other voters for whom returning by mail is their only option would need to seek special permission. HB 332 would withdraw Utah from the Cooperative Electronic Registration Data Center, the subject of far-right conspiracy theories. The Kansas Senate passed SB 4, which requires receipt of mail-in ballots by 7 p.m. Election Day to count, rather than the current 3 days after. An Indiana Senate committee advanced SB 284, shortening early in-person voting from 28 days to 14 days, ending at noon the day before Election Day. The full Senate passed SB 10, ending use of school-issued student identification as ID for voting. In North Carolina, a district court judge dismissed a claim by a state Supreme Court candidate that in a race he lost by 734 votes, as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible. A federal appeals court may revisit it. We've linked the Voting Rights Lab tracker at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me,
from civil rights to business,
food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is why I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hanging out here with Nick Watier from the Green Bay Film Festival, talking independent film and a really fun event coming up next month down at the Tarleton Theater down here in downtown Green Bay. Oh, Bridget checks in. She's in the 818. She says, lots of chocolate and time with my sweetie. Those are her Valentine's Day plans. Thank you, Bridget. That sounds like a lovely evening. And again, folks, you can chime in even if you don't have a sweetie. How are you going to spend the day? Make it a you day. You got plans, Nick?
I'm actually going to visit our friends at the Door County Film Festival tomorrow.
Oh.
They started tonight.
Yeah, right.
And tomorrow they're having a nice big networking event. I believe it's 4 to 6. And then at 6 o'clock they're playing Green Blah, which I don't know if you've heard that. That is a... I first heard about them like 7 years ago when they were still in pre-production, but they made a fantastic documentary about the punk rock scene in Green Bay, which is a lot bigger than you ever would have thought.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So Green Blah will be playing at the Door County Film Festival tomorrow night, and I will be there. So if you want to meet me, if you're interested in helping with the film festival,
hello,
we're always
yeah.
looking for volunteers. So come say hi. I'll be there.
That's
if you're
excellent.
Online, you know what I look like. So
there he is right there. He's sitting next to me. That'll be really fun. Yeah, Kurt has been on the show, and Chris Opper, they were on the show a couple weeks ago. That sounds like a really fun...
Yeah, well, and Kurt actually is one of the filmmakers who's doing that Amphibious project I
right.
mentioned. So he's working on that project, and we're helping raise funds. So he was like, hey, can you come say a couple words about Amphibious? And so I don't know if I'll be on stage or if I'm just recording something for him, but yeah, Kurt's a great friend.
Hardworking guy.
Great guy.
Absolutely. You know, he was in a movie I made 20 years ago. He was an extra.
Really?
And the last time he was in here, he brought a picture of the two of us on the set. It was The Godfather of Green Bay.
Jeez.
And he was like 18 years old.
I was going to say, how was he in a film 20 years ago? Isn't he like 18?
In a bar, too. He probably shouldn't even have been there, but he's worked hard ever since. I tip my hat to Kurt, and he's a great guy,
yeah,
too.
He is.
So I hope they have a great turnout there. All right. So what else was I going to Saturday.
Saturday
after the giant spider invasion on Friday, you'll clean all the spiders out of the theater. You'll have people in. And what's happening on Saturday?
Well, we've got 6 films from Wisconsin filmmakers on Saturday.
Okay.
So this will be a separate ticketed event. Again, for the year, we're doing $10 tickets. So very affordable to come see. Bring
wow,
a friend.
That's great.
We want people to experience this. And Kurt, I'm hoping, is going to be there again for Saturday because we're showing one of his projects, From the Furnace, which was they called it the Dollar Baby Project. The
Stephen King.
Yeah, the thing. Stephen yeah. King had released the rights to all of his short stories for a dollar. You had to apply and be accepted, and they were. But I saw that in its debut down in Oshkosh last year, and just a fantastic piece. Kind of talks human trafficking. There's kind of a theme with Kurt's projects generally is that they usually have a good story, have a good, how do I say it? Not just a story, but like a story to tell, a lesson to learn.
Okay.
And From the Furnace is no exception, you know, talks about family life, talks about the struggles of trying to find your own way, being in bad relationships. It's a really touching piece. And again, I mean, how do you go wrong with Stephen King as a writer?
Stephen King's material. And
right.
I heard they knocked it out of the park, which is even more impressive because you had to buy it for a dollar. I heard Kurt pocketed 75 cents of that for himself and shot the whole thing for a quarter. So that's what that really blew me away.
I don't know what their actual budget was, but what I saw, that was made on a lot more than a quarter.
Yeah,
it's extraordinarily well made.
It's a great community here. I've learned since I've been doing this show, really, I didn't know there was such a strong independent film community in Northeast Wisconsin. You've got the Door County Film Festival, YWEGA, Green Bay. Do you guys all work together? Do you try to differentiate yourselves in some way?
So we have not necessarily partnerships, but relationships with all these festivals.
Okay.
And like Craig, who's you mentioned earlier, Craig Knitt, he ran the Wildwood Film Festival out of Appleton.
Oh, right.
And like his focus was all very much Wisconsin made, about Wisconsin, be a little kooky, be a little crazy, but be about Wisconsin.
Okay.
Right. And he kind of had that focus. And Door County, I think, is a nice cultural mix of works that are coming a little bit of local, a little bit of distance. What we tried to focus on with the Green Bay Film Festival in our past was really trying to find the cream of the crop, the best of indie, and bring it here to try and build that confidence and find an audience that is willing to pay to go see something that doesn't have Tom Cruise on the poster.
Right.
Right. Like we had focused, and this focus has shifted over the years, but traditionally we had focused on showing the best of the media to our area. And what I'm trying to do now is focus even more on those local artists.
Yeah.
You know, we still want to show great stuff and our local artists are great, but we want to give a little bit more opportunity for those local artists to show off in our area.
Love it. Well, keep up the great work, Nick, and keep us posted here. I love hearing about what you guys are doing. It's such a unique festival and I think you guys are doing great stuff. So keep it up and keep us posted.
Thanks, Pete. I appreciate you and your show.
Anytime, buddy. It's great to have you. You have no excuse not to be here because you're right down the street. Like you probably didn't even have to park your car, which is always nice, especially with the Green Bay parking. Hey, tomorrow night, folks, on the show, we've got our pal Emerson Lehman will be here from the WBAY Morning Show. Always fun with Emerson, up-and-coming singer-songwriter, Madison-based, I believe, right, Connor? Or maybe Nashville now, but I think she's from Madison.
Yep.
Kaylin Cole will be here, and then Terry Barr will be here, one of the co-hosts of Max Inc. Radio for Bar Band Friday night. Lots of fun tomorrow night on the show, too. I'd like to thank John McGivern and my buddy Nick Watier here sitting next to me, and thank you for all of your Valentine's Day texts. We'll be back tomorrow night to do it all again. Right, Conrad?
I think so.
We didn't get bad news or anything, did we?
No, we didn't.
Would you tell me if we did?
We're good. We're good.
Okay. So come in tomorrow.
I would.
All right. Fantastic. This is Peach Wabbit and Nightlight. Been a lot of fun, folks. Hope you had a great night. And we will be back on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin. Find the lady with the fat diamond ring. And then you know I can't remember a damn thing. I think it's one of those deja vu things. Or a dream is trying to tell me something. But will I ever stop thinking about it? I don't know. I doubt it. Subterranean by design. I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess who. Often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts. Assuming that there are some out there, they're probably alone. Solitaire. I can remember when I caught up with a pastime.
You're listening to Bow Falls Radio WXCO, Wausau's home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a TGIF Friday edition. Our old friend Reed Galen, founder of The Union, will be here to talk about voter registration, how to be a voter, and we'll do a little what's worse.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Vicki Barker. Another setback for the president's campaign to slash federal government spending. CBS's Stacey Lynn reports.
A federal judge has temporarily blocked a freeze on funding to USAID and development programs ordered by President Trump. According to court documents, a Biden-appointed judge has prohibited the administration from suspending, pausing, or otherwise preventing foreign assistance funds.
In a separate case, 14 states have filed a lawsuit accusing President Trump and Elon Musk of unconstitutional overreach over Musk's campaign to slash, well, wasteful bureaucracy or vital government functions, depending on how you see it. Apocalyptic scenes in Southern California, where heavy rain has caused mud and sludge slides on hills and neighborhoods left barren by the recent wildfires. CBS's Carter Evans describes one incident.
It was the rain first, and then all of a sudden, rushing water and police lights flashing.